If you'd like to follow along with the scripture reading, it's going to be the last chapter of the book of Luke. Luke 24, I'm going to read verses 1 through 12. Luke 24, 1 through 12. I've got the New American Standard version that I'm reading from this morning. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and reported all of these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now they were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James. Also, the other women with them were telling these things to the apostles. But these words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings only, and he went away to his home, marveling at what had happened.
Good morning. We're so thankful that you're here this morning. We had such a wonderful day yesterday. I just want to follow up with what Donnie said. We're so thankful to everyone who was here and participated and helped organize it. We really appreciate you. It was really exciting and fun and such a beautiful time to get to see the kids go on Easter egg hunts. That's always a fun thing to watch. And the thing I always try to pay attention to is the golden egg. I want to know who's going to get the golden egg, and if any kids notice it. I was able to hide one of the golden eggs with a $2 bill in it, thanks to Brother Dan. Who carries a $2 bill? He had a $2 bill, which was pretty cool. And one of the little kids found it, and so it was really exciting to watch them go and have that fun. So that was really cool to see the tradition of us coming together and being able to do that. We are into our action plan for 2022, which in essence has to do with how do we have biblical, scriptural, spiritual conversations with people that we come in contact with in the world. Everyone has questions. Everyone here, whether you're a visitor or you're a seasoned Christian, you have beliefs. Now the question is, are those beliefs founded in the Bible, or are those beliefs founded in your family tradition, maybe your opinion, maybe your concept and view of the world? And so that belief that you hold is going to dictate how you see the world, the lens in which you view the world around us. So it's important that we're able to help people understand what the Bible actually says, what God says about things that people have questions about. So we want to find ways that we can redirect their attention back to God. That's going to help the church to grow. When people get on board with Christianity, when they put their hope and their trust and their life in Jesus Christ, then the church grows. So it's a benefit to us. It's a benefit to people in the world. And so we want to make sure that we have right biblical answers. I think today is a day that the world will celebrate, and they call it Easter Sunday. Now, I don't want to smash anyone's Easter eggs, and I don't want to burst anyone's bubble, but it may surprise you if you're here that Easter is not in your Bible. Easter is not in your Bible. Now, that's going to come as a shock to many people because they're going to say, "Well, what do you mean Easter's not in my Bible? Then how is Easter in relation to the resurrection of Jesus? How does it have this relation to the resurrection then? Well, that's just through tradition, and it's through Christian missionaries seeing the pagan world celebrate fertility and rebirth during this time that they said, hey, we want to adopt this because this celebration of fertility and rebirth is in the same time period that Jesus was resurrected from the cross, that the Passover took over or occurred. And so they've just collaborated the two. So let's be real clear. The Bible nowhere commands us to celebrate holidays. In essence, if someone here decides, I don't want to celebrate Christmas or Easter, you are still in good standing with God. That doesn't put you in bad standing with Him. And so it's these traditions that people have that you cannot bind on others. So in relation to the resurrection then, when are we as Christians to celebrate or commemorate the resurrection? Well, we do that every Sunday, every Lord's Day, every first day of the week. We celebrate the resurrection. We celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And that we do this each time until He returns back to us. So that's the information that we want to share with people. And I hope that that's good news for you. So when you ask the question, well, what are the eggs, the rabbits, and the chickens have to do with? Well, it has to do with fertility. It used to have to do with fertility. I don't think it has to do with that anymore. Now it has to do with chocolate and M&Ms and jelly beans and, in our house, bubble gum and everything else. That's what those Easter eggs have to do with. So how can we bring to light individuals' understanding of holidays and the resurrection? Since people around us are going to be talking about the resurrection, can we have a conversation about that too? I think it's safe to say we can. And the way that I want to present this to you today is I want to share perhaps, and in my opinion, the greatest story ever told, a Savior breaking into our world, coming and dying for us on the cross, and then individuals going to the gravesite and finding His tomb empty. So I want to do that, since we discussed the origin of Easter, talk about the resurrection, but I also want to plant in your mind some Easter eggs in the Bible. Now, if you've heard of Easter eggs in movies, typically an Easter egg in the movie is going to be a hidden clue or a hidden message that's going to foreshadow a later event, either in the movie itself or sometimes in another movie. A lot of the Disney Pixar movies will plant Easter eggs referring to another Pixar movie or referring to something that's going to take place at a later time. Well, here's the cool thing about the Bible and especially the resurrection. There's a lot of Easter eggs in the Bible. What do I mean? There's a lot of foreshadowing of Jesus rising from the grave. And maybe you've missed it before. So what I would like for us to do is to go on our own little Easter egg hunt through the Bible. And let's find these Easter eggs that correspond to what the New Testament talks about, Jesus coming and rising from the dead on the third day in particular. So let's go to the story itself. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. In the text that was so capably read for us, we're just going to walk through this once again. Luke 24, verses 1 through 12. So in the previous chapter is Joseph of Arimathea that received permission to take down Jesus' body. He transports Jesus' body to his own tomb. The women who were followers of Jesus had come from Galilee. They watched where Joseph put the body and went home to prepare spices for his burial. Now, why did people prepare spices? Because the body would rot and decay and the smell would be overwhelming, that they would bring in all sorts of spices to eradicate or remove the pungent odor that would come from a decaying body. And so what we find in chapter 24, verses 1 and following, that at the end of chapter 23, then they returned and prepared spices, fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Chapter 24, verse 1, now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, and certain women, other women with them, came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. So they come to expect to find this dead body, and they're going to put spices on it, and something very unusual is happening that they did not expect. They did not see it coming. The stone is rolled away from the graveside. And so maybe they think that Joseph has showed up to make final preparations for this decaying body. They're not sure what's taking place, but this is unusual because now they went in and they don't find the body of Jesus. So now the body is missing itself. Now what's funny about this is they're so perplexed, they're so confused as to the stone being removed, now the body is missing. Guess what they should have known? They should have known that that's what was supposed to happen. Why should they have known it? Because all of the Easter eggs that are planted in the Bible that they should have found. They should have known this. Go back to Luke chapter 9, and let's notice what this says. Luke chapter 9, verse 22. Luke chapter 9, verse 22. We'll begin in verse 21. And he strictly warned them and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, "The Son of Man," that's Jesus, "must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day." So now they show up to the tomb, and a few chapters later, a few pages over, they show up to the tomb and they're completely confused. Why? They missed the Easter egg. Jesus had told them what was going to occur, and they completely missed it. They should have seen it, and they should have recognized that this is what was supposed to happen. But no one saw this coming. No one found this, you could call it the golden Easter egg. It has the best prize in it. No one found this. It was lost to them. And even the angels kind of get on to him a little bit, because look what the angel says. Chapter 4, "And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments." Other passages let us know that these are angels. They're in these shining garments. And notice what these two angels, these two individuals are saying to the people here. "Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead?'" So if you go on a hunt for a live person, are you going to go to the local graveside? No. If you're looking for living people, you don't go to a cemetery. You don't go to a grave. You don't go to a tomb. And that's what the angels are asking these people. So it's almost like they're perplexed because they didn't see the Easter egg that Jesus had planned for them, saying he's going to rise on the third day, that he's going to be alive. And the angel says, "Well, did you not know this already? Why are you coming looking for a living person? You are looking for a person who's alive, aren't you?" And they weren't. They weren't. They should have remembered what Jesus had told them, and they should have known what Jesus had prepared them for. He is not here. Here's the good news. He's risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, that's Luke 9:22, saying, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And then here's the good news. They remembered his word. They remember that Easter egg that Jesus had planted for them. Now, this is the Easter egg hunt I want us to go on today. You've heard this wonderful story time and time again. You know all the intimate details about it. But let me ask you this. Why didn't Jesus rise from the dead the next day? Why didn't Jesus rise from the dead 4 days later? Why didn't he rise from the dead a week later? Why did it have to be three specific days? Why did Jesus have to tell them that I'm going to rise on the third day? Well, here's the cool thing. If you read your Old Testament, you would have known why. There's Easter eggs all throughout the Scripture letting us know why it was 3 days. And we're going to go on an Easter egg hunt right now and find those things out. So here's the first Easter egg that we're going to see in the Scriptures. So the Jews had this understanding that when a person died, that it was after 3 days that the decaying process, the body would be decomposed. It would start to corrupt and fall apart after 3 days. So until that time period, the soul would hover over the person's body until those 3 days. And when that soul would hover over the person's dead body and begin to see the body deteriorate and the face to change form, that then the soul would leave that person. So they knew that at 3 days, the body would begin to decay. So why do the Scriptures give us this 3-day time period? Here's the first one. Turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 16, verses 9 and 10. And this is precisely what Peter preaches in Acts chapter 2 to the people as to why it was 3 days. Psalm 16, verses 9 and 10. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see what? Corruption. That's decay. So this is part of prophecy. So the first Easter egg that we see in the Scriptures, the first Easter egg that we have, is in Psalm 16, verses 9 and 10, which Peter preaches in Acts chapter 2. He says, you all should have noticed this Easter egg. The reason why it was 3 days is because Jesus' body would not see corruption. The Scriptures prophesied this. It told us before it happened that this would be the case. Okay, what about our second Easter egg? And this is pretty cool as well. And this is where the lesson gets a little bit deeper. So obviously you knew that it was part of the prophecy from Psalm 16. Everyone knows that when you read Acts chapter 2. But what about more specific or deeper details? Well, this is our second Easter egg here. Turn your Bibles to Hosea chapter 6. Hosea chapter 6. And we're going to notice that this is the first time, or one of the few times that he's going to mention to us the third day. Come and let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us, and on the third day, he will raise us up. And so he's already given us insight that there's going to be a special connection to this third day. So look at Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And then here is our last Easter egg. There's the verses, sorry. Genesis chapter 22. And this is actually the first time we're going to see this reference being made. Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 4. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Here it is, verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. Now, what do these Easter eggs all have to mean? The third day is a reference to God's deliverance. The third day has always been an Easter egg and a reference to God's salvation, God's saving grace. That's the meaning of the 3 days. So then, now put the connection together. When you think about Jesus for a moment, the third day is the declaration of Jesus that not only God will deliver him from death, but now salvation is going to be offered to everyone in the world. How? Through his resurrection. Now everyone can be saved. How can people be saved? Through the resurrection of Jesus, that he arose on the third day, and that he's alive, he's risen. And we sang that song, Hallelujah, what a Savior. Why? Because he arose on the third day to save us. That's the Easter egg that the Bible gives us. What does the resurrection say about Jesus? Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, because this is what it specifically says, again, in reference to deliverance and salvation. Look what Romans 1 says to us. Verse 1, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and here it is, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. How? By the resurrection from the dead. So Jesus, rising from the dead on the third day, declared him to be the Son of God with power. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 2 now. Acts chapter 2, and this is what Peter brings the people to come and see. Verse 29 of Acts chapter 2, Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and that his tomb is with us today. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, the Easter eggs, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. We already noticed that. Verse 32, This Jesus God raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says of himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all of the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Now, what do those terms have to do with? Jesus is the one who's come into this world to deliver us and save us. How did he do that? Because he rose from the dead. Because he resurrected. So the resurrection, what it says about Jesus, is that he is Lord and Savior. Now what does that mean for me and you? Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. And this is what it means for us today. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 3 through 5. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to the abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So what does the resurrection do for us? Well, it's given us a Savior, a Deliverer, a King, a person who's going to come and redeem us. It's given us this living hope that now one day when you and I die, we'll be resurrected. Death does not have the final say in our life. He's taken away the sting of death. He's taken away the power of death. It no longer rules over our life. We no longer have to fear dying. That's what the resurrection's done for us. It's giving us this living hope that now we can live this new life, this radical transformed change in our life through this resurrection. It proves that we have new life. We're not condemned. It gives us this inheritance that Peter goes on to say in verses 4 and 5. So we have this living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's what Jesus' resurrection means for us. We have an eternity that we get to live. And that's part of the gospel. That's part of the good news that Jesus has given us. Now we get to live for in this hope. We get to live for Him. We get to be transformed, reunited with Him in the likeness of His resurrection, according to Romans chapter 6 and verse 5. That's part of our hope. We're not just going to decay. We're just not going to rot away. Because Jesus rose the third day, we too can have deliverance and salvation. And then here's our final Easter egg. You know what's great about this? Everyone loves it, Easter. Families get together. People get to spend time with one another. We get to see each other that we haven't seen for a while. And it's a great time to come together. Here's the good news about Center Chapel. We do this every week. We do this every week. And if you notice the Easter egg that I laid at the beginning of this lesson, each week we come together on the first day of the week and we remember the resurrection of Jesus. It's just not once a one-time year event for us. It's every week. And so if you like what's happening today, if you like getting to see friends and family, then I encourage you, join us each week. And when you encounter people in the world and they want to know about Easter, they want to know about the resurrection, you can encourage them that they can come and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, the death, burial, and resurrection, every first day of the week with the family of God. That's great news. And that should be very exciting for us. This morning, if you're here and you're not a Christian, or maybe you're a visitor and this is the first time that you've heard some of these things, well, it doesn't just stop there. The way in which we reenact or we get to follow in the footsteps of Jesus is being buried for the remission of our sins. When a person is buried and then they're raised back up to a newness of life, that's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And it's in this resurrection that God takes away our sins. Now we're a new, changed person. And if you would like to become a new person today, if you would like to become a Christian, a follower of God, then be baptized for the remission of your sins. Maybe you're here and you've lost track of that. Maybe you're struggling and you just need prayers from the church. Your opportunity to come forward and let us pray with you and for you is now as we stand and we sing.